AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Matt, Patrick. Patrick, you're going to have to excuse me for a quick second. You leave my mic on, though, okay? I need to slip something on. It's my new earphone covers here. Because we here at AM 950, no social... Oh, trust us. Every one of us on-air people, we're masters at social distancing. No one wants to be around us. I don't know why.
It's only, what, 15 feet of glass window, a big, heavy door?
15 feet, 6 feet for everyone else. It's 15 feet for me, you know. There we go. And we cover up everything. We, you know, a little, get ready. I'm putting the mic cover on you. Ooh, this is seductive. Oh, yeah. Fits like a charm.
Those of you watching on the video feed can get all the imagery.
Hot Matt action. That's all I got to say. Hot Matt action. Cliff Schechter is going to join us. He's got some choice words about a few things. We'll talk to him about these manufactured outrage rallies where, yeah, we want you to make us sick. Okay. You sure about that? There. So today's walk, the Midtown Greenway. And by the way, I do want to make sure you got to give Minneapolis a lot of credit. I have been to other cities where the second any piece of land that's possibly developable comes around, it's given away to a land developer. You know, it becomes condos or townhomes. And you look at the Greenway there and the old train line that runs basically just north of Lake Street. And it is the fact that you have a very well-sculpted bike and walking trail through the heart of South Minneapolis. I mean, that's just delightful. That is just delightful. And it's a kitschy little place, man, if you haven't been down there. Have you ever been down on the Greenway, Midtown Greenway?
Not lately.
It's worthwhile. We walked today from James. What's the one past Grand? Is it Blaisdell? I think it's Blaisdell's past Grand, and so I think it's we did James to Blaisdell and back because I was not about to get my kids on a bus, and we walked down there. And it's funny because I don't think I live in the real Lily White suburbs. I mean, I was out at a park out in far western Hennepin County where the idea of street was pretty cleaned up and clean cut kids on longboards on the paved trails over at this park. Like, dude, look at me. I'm counterculture out here. Yeah. You know, it's like going from eggshell to beige. Anyway, it's just your street dog. You are street there, Peter Brady. Don't ever let anyone tell you differently. Anyway, I live in a city because I've lived in Ames, Iowa. I lived in Bemidji. I lived in Beloit, Wisconsin. I've lived in smaller towns. Eldora, Iowa. Good pork chops. And I lived in these smaller towns, and you know, every place has its own vibe. It has its own thing, and you do your own thing. I did not move back to Minneapolis-St. Paul so my life could be an existence of strip malls and chain freaking restaurants. I didn't move out here because my idea of the deep, dark city was Lake Harriet. For God's sakes. You know, this city is brilliant. Minneapolis-St. Paul is brill-freaking-int. Yeah, that's it. And I just love being here. And so, yeah, I take my kids down the Midtown Greenway. We went hiked down that way, came back perfectly fine. I take my kids in the Skyway, and people are like, you took your children into the Skyway? Well, you know, what, are they going to get attacked by a gang of accountants and taken up to do, you know 401k programs? I mean, what have you been down to the Skyway during midday for lunch? You know, and get hauled into a sushi place and made to eat, the happy platter. I mean, that's about the worst thing that's going to happen to them down there. Well, you be careful. Don't get me wrong. It's the city. I'm not stupid. But at the same time, I want my kids exposed to it because they live in a city. And it does amaze me how many of my kids' friends, they never go basically... If from Hopkins, they never go east of Highway 100. I mean, it really is amazing. You know, I mean, that's the value of living in a city, is having a really kick-ass town to go on out and enjoy. And I hope you have been enjoying it. And if you've been paying attention to the social media pages and these shows, we've talked about a lot of places you can go that you know, parks, and no matter what you're looking for, if you do want a woodsy, lakey, middle of nowhere, prairie like park, I've been to those. I was over at Indian Mounds in St. Paul, so I had a great view of downtown St. Paul. I've gone to, we hiked the Mendota Bridge one day. You know, I've been all over the city, and so far I haven't even gotten close to starting to have to redo my parks. I still got, you know, I'm thinking of doing Phelan at some point here. And so, you know, come on, you know, get out, enjoy it, have fun. This town kicks butt. And even with the quarantine, you know, social distancing is a good thing. Even with the quarantine and the social distancing, you can get on out there and see a lot of cool things that are going on. So I hope you are getting on out there to do these things. I want you to go at some point over the next 24 hours. I want everyone to go over to am950radio.com and check out the membership page. If you've become a member, we really do appreciate it. Progressive radio is not something you find everywhere. As a matter of fact, you hardly find it anywhere. It used to be a lot more places, but, you know, it's gradually been bought out and shut down. Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, we've got one of the few progressive radio stations left in the country. And we are the only station that is giving you the perspective from the left. We are. And so I want to encourage everyone out there that if you feel that progressive radio is important, go become a member. AM950radio.com, AM950radio.com. We're going to have some special things coming in for you before too long that are going to be members only. So, yeah, you know, go become a member. We're going to have interviews. We're going to have special deals. A lot of cool things. So just become a member, and we got the member stuff coming down the line here before too long. AM950radio.com, AM950radio.com. The Minnesota update for today. 17 more deaths due to COVID-19 were reported Tuesday by the Minnesota Department of Health. Patrick, I don't know. Well, Tevier, okay. You know how all these rightos keep screaming it's no worse than the flu? Did we regularly have 17 people dying of the flu day after day after day after day? I can't remember that. Anything close to that. The 17 more deaths due to COVID-19, tying the highest one-day death toll of the state during the pandemic. The count included 15 people from the Hennepin County, mostly from Hennepin County, residents of long-term care facilities that have been described by health officials as tinderboxes for the spread of the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. All the victims reported Tuesday were older than 60. Most were older than 80. The COVID-19 update for the Minnesota Department of Health on Tuesday included 97 new lab-confirmed infections, bringing the state's totals to 2,567. That total includes 237 people currently hospitalized, 117 people in intensive care due to the severe respiratory symptoms and breathing problems. The state's case count has doubled in 12 days, a key metric that state officials are watching in terms of the spread of highly infectious coronavirus. Some feared that the cases would be doubling by now every day or so. Once again, Governor Walz, and give credit where credit's due, Republicans, Democrats working together, we've pushed this curve, we've lowered it out, flattened it to a point, moved it down the road. You guys did a good job. Now the last thing that you need to do is basically lift the stay-at-home orders. I mean, we're taking care of this right now, doing a pretty good job of preventing this from becoming a medical nightmare. The last thing we need is some selfish little twit basically saying, I want my hair cut. Really? Tell you what, bring me a weed whacker. Come on over here. I'll take care of you. No, I won't do that. But for goodness sakes, just cut your own hair. Get a razor. Cut your own hair. It's easy. As a matter of fact, there's a great tutorial on Huffington Post on how to do that. Just FYI. Once again, some feared the cases would be doubling by now every day or so, but the current statewide stay-at-home order appears to be having an impact. State officials estimated it would reduce face-to-face contact and disease transmission by 80%. The order is scheduled to end on May 4th. Even with only steady growth, the number of new cases reported on Tuesday alone exceeds the total number of cases that had been reported exactly 1 month ago on March 19th. Well, but 9 Minnesota counties have now reported cases. That's it. I think it's Pennington County up in the northwest is the latest county to report their first case, Pennington County. All but nine Minnesota counties have reported cases, with the statewide spread being reflected in the recent voluntary shutdown of the JBS pork plant in Worthington due to illness levels. The total case count in Worthington and surrounding Nobles counties at 101. By the way, that's the fifth highest county in the state. Nobles County is the fifth highest county in the state. At a press briefing on Monday, state health officials said they had conducted a preliminary epidemiology review of 41 cases in that county, found that 33 involved JBS workers and 6 involved their relatives. You can see the concentration. By the way, so that, let me make sure we understand this. They did 41 case reviews, 33 were direct employees, and another 6 were relatives. 39 out of the 41 had a relationship with JBS. You can see the concentration there related to the plant. Duluth News Tribune's Jimmy Lovren reports Hibbing Taconite will idle production next month, at least until early July, laying off 650 employees as the demand for steel tumbles during the COVID-19 pandemic. ArcelorMittal, which manages Hibbing's Taconite and owns the largest stake in the mine, said the iron ore mine and pellet processing plant will idle May 3rd, resume operation on July 6th due to the unprecedented and challenging times presented by the COVID-19 pandemic. This on top of the latest numbers for the Dow. They fell today 631 points, a lot to do with the fact that the oil market is just cavitating. The oil market's disappearing. And what they feared was that the lack of storage and process of facility because of the lack of demand was going to back things up into June and July. And it looks like, indeed, those months are as well now starting to take a hit as far as the amount of for the cost of oil in those months. Also, on top of it, should be mentioned, housing sales were down 8.35%. That's not good, and that's actually, once again, they're expecting it to get worse from here on out. So anticipate that. Also, it should be mentioned, I think it was in Grand Rapids, I saw a paper plant up there is going to be laying off people in the Grand Rapids area. So, yeah, a lot of things there. I got to get to Scott, Senator and Dr. Scott Jensen here in just a second. But Gary is in Minneapolis. Let's get to Gary Bear. Welcome on in, Gary.
Yeah, just for those that have been here today. Oh, thanks, Matt. You do such a great job. I really admire you.
Thanks,
but
Gary.
On Tom Hartman today, I want those that didn't hear it to hear it. Low-income people on Social Security with kids, and that includes grandparents with the kids at home that live at home with them, like a lot of single mothers that are just on Social Security and they haven't filed taxes. Trump put a poison pill in the stimulus that they have to, they're going to announce it Monday, they have to do it by Wednesday, that they're going to, they have to go to the internet and sign up or they won't get the $500. That just shows how rotten these guys are. And then the other thing I'm going to say, maybe we should get down the dirt with him and call him Madman Donnie, or Biden could, and see if he can take it like he dishes it out.
Well, thanks, Gary. I appreciate the phone call. 952-946-6205. You just, you know, I wrote about things today on the Twitter. It's on the blog, Progressive Citizen X, if you have not been over there. It's great. The story basically is a simple one. The GOP thinks you're worth less than $2,000. And that's reality. They're not going to help you. They've given you one check. They've already been diverting as much money, billions of dollars, to major corporations. They want to subsidize the entire oil industry now that they're having tough oil prices, an industry that's profitable up until recently. But we're going to basically spend trillions of U.S. taxpayer dollars propping up the oil sector. And we get one check, and already Republicans have said that's too much. That's why they want to open things up. And we'll talk to Cliff about this. That's why they want to open things up, because they don't want to have to tell you we're not going to send you another check, because they know that that might hurt them. So if they open things up and, you know, you still don't have a job or no one wants to come on out there and you can't make money, they can look at you and say, sorry, you got evicted. Sorry, you're starving. But that's on you, because you can go get a job during the pandemic. 90% of us are not on anywhere on the Republican Party's horizon. 90% of us. They don't care about us. Today, when I was walking the Greenway, there were some homeless people that were down there. Here we are in one of the wealthier parts of the entire city, right on Hennepin and Lake there, a few blocks to the east. And here's a guy in a tent living in an underpass. I'm very concerned that's going to be a much larger group of people. And that we're not going to have Hoover towns. We're going to have Trump towns. We need people in government that are going to take care of us. because they sure as hell expect us to pay for the welfare that we give to the billionaires and the millionaires, the welfare that we give to the corporations and the executives. They sure expect us to continue to open up our wallet and give money to their causes. But yet when we need help, where is the Republican Party? Where are they? In the pocket of big business. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I got a bone to pick with, you know, Senator Scott Jensen when we do return. 952-946-6205, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drinkin' the Style, Saturdays at 7 and Sundays at 5. You know, we're all sitting at home right now, and chances are you've noticed a thing or two that you wish you could change. Well, the Habitation Design staff is here to help. Right now, we're offering free virtual interior design services. It works like this. You guys are home, we're all at home. Let's schedule a virtual walkthrough of your space. Using FaceTime, Zoom, or Skype, one of our degreed professional interior designers will take a look, tell you precisely how to measure your room, then provide you with specific product recommendations, a design plan, and everything you need to make your space beautiful and functional. So we've all got the time. Why don't we take advantage of it? Call Habitation at 952-426-3548. That's 952-426-3548 and schedule your virtual design appointment today.
Hi, this is Mark Bython with Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Rudy Luther Toyota remains open to support other essential services, such as medical workers, first responders, and countless others. You can rely on us to take care of vehicle repairs or replacements. We can pick up and deliver your car to keep it going, and you can handle your purchase transaction, mostly online and by phone, to make it easier and safer for you. We are diligent with sanitizing the dealership and your vehicle, and we are 6 feet apart. Please let us know how Rudy Luther Toyota can help at rudyluthertoyota.com.
Werner Stellion has the appliances you need for a healthy home. Call, text, or chat with a specialist. Shop thousands of in-stock appliances online or visit us in-store. Whichever you choose, Werner Stellion is focused on safety. Enjoy free installation on top-rated Bosch and KitchenAid dishwashers. Sanitize your clothes with a reliable laundry pair. Or store more food with a family-sized refrigerator and get free trusted delivery. From the specialists, Werner Stellion. That's WernerStellion.com.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for more than 25 years. My company has been awarded more than 5 national awards for craftsmanship. You won't find somebody who loves their job more than me. I've devoted my life to my family, my craft, my business, and to the people who trust me with their projects. And I'm happier for doing it. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com to learn more.
AM950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I got a bone to pick with Senator Scott Jensen. This is the Chaska Republican physician. He basically, this is the guy that went on out and became a far-right media darling, a.k.a. most of the media, fell in love with the guy because he was out there making the comment that the death count was off, that it was way too high, that doctors were being pressured into doing this. And that, I'm paraphrasing, but I mean, you'll get to the point here. He got more attention than he bargained for after calling into question federal guidelines for attributing the deaths to COVID-19. Jensen, sometimes mentioned as a possible 2022 gubernatorial candidate, good luck with that, voiced fears that doctors could start over-diagnosing the virus and inflating its death toll in a series of interviews with television personalities from North Dakota to Fox News in New York. His words quickly went viral around the globe, found new life fueling conspiracy theories and disinformation about the coronavirus across fringe right-wing websites. "I'm deeply disappointed," Jensen said in an interview this week. "I think that things are being taken out of context." Oh, you're outraged that your inflammatory statements were inflammatory. Well, gee willikers. How dare they? Then he tries to get righteous. Jensen says, "But isn't that the world we live in? I mean, I think people will clip, cut, and paste." I don't think they had to clip, cut, and paste too much with you, Doc. One of Jensen's earliest interviews on the subject was with Fargo TV host Chris Berg. It gained significant traction amongst followers of QAnon conspiracy theories, which claims that a worldwide network of satanic pedophiles controls a deep state, pulling the levers of government. A Facebook page affiliated with QAnon movement shared a link to Jensen's interview with its more than 444,000 followers with the comment, "What's the primary benefit to keep public in mass hysteria, re COVID-19? Think voting. Are you awake yet?" InfoWars, a conspiracy news site that recently claimed that the coronavirus is a man-made bioweapon meant to stoke panic, also linked to Jensen's interview and ended its post with Jensen's quote, "Well, fear is a great way to control people, and I worry about that." That's Jensen's quote. That's not cut and paste. That's your quote, sir. Jensen said he began speaking out after taking a closer look at the federal guidelines added this month for physicians and medical examiners on when to declare COVID-19 as the cause of death. In one interview, Jensen was asked why he thought the government would want to skew the COVID death toll upwards. Once again, a loaded question. And Jensen did not say, "Hey, wait a minute here. I'm not saying the government's doing this." Nope, he went along with it. So the question was why Jensen thought the government would want to skew the COVID-19 death toll upwards. "I worry that sometimes we are just so interested in jazzing up the fear factor," he replied. That's not cut and paste, Doc. Jensen, that's not me editing. That's your quote. You went out, started a bonfire, started pouring gasoline all over the place, and when the fire got out of control, and you're like, "Wait a minute here. Just because I poured gasoline all over everything didn't mean I wanted it on fire." Jackass. Jensen has also suggested that each state's share of COVID-19 deaths could, at some point in time, powerfully impact the allocation of federal funds. Though not addressing Jensen specifically, Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy, Infectious Diseases, and leader of the National COVID-19 Response, rejected those arguments. "I think it falls under the category of something that is very unfortunate, these conspiracy theories that we hear about." And Jensen, you can try to paint that pig red all day long. You were peddling in conspiracy theories. You were. Not anyone else. The reason why the vermin came and took your words is because you were speaking their language. Don't act as if you were trying to do the 4 score and 7 years ago and they went and, "Oh, they added it all. How did we get to this point?" You basically said, you know, "Hey, come here, cockroaches. Dinner bell's ready." State Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm, meanwhile, described the latest federal guidance as a measure to do better to define the scope of the pandemic. Pretty much every medical expert I have seen, Doc Jensen, is that the death count is probably way below where it should be, and the case count, the amount of people that have COVID-19, is definitively way below where the number should be, that we are probably much higher on both counts. Much higher. And here you are saying, "I don't think we should." If the guy has got COVID-19, if he's coughing, he's hacking, he's got all the symptoms, and so he dies, and they say, "Well, you know, we'll put him down as COVID-19. You're sitting there, "Well, wait a minute here. How do we know he didn't get hit by a bus right before he walked into the emergency room?" Come on, man. I mean, I'm paraphrasing that last statement, but you get my point. You basically went out there and started pouring gasoline all over everything. A Star Tribune review of 63 COVID-19-related death records in Minnesota suggests that doctors in the state are taking a conservative approach to attributing deaths to the virus when test results weren't available. So even the Star Tribune, who basically were part of that whole thing to try to get Keith Ellison's divorce records, those guys, that beacon of journalistic integrity, Brianna Beerspach aside, she's brilliant, but even they could not find something that backed up your statement, Dr. Jensen. Andy Slavitt, a Minnesota resident, former acting administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, said that without evidence, accusations of falsifying data for financial gain has the appearance of trying to fit it in a conclusion that you want to reach. Yeah, think? He pointed out the U.S. is instead still hamstrung by a significant amount of underreporting and undertesting. This isn't even something that is supposed to be an argument. Let's just prevent people from getting sick and die and give the public the best evidence. Russia Today, the Kremlin-powered global television network, used Jensen's statements to Fox News host Laura Ingraham to punctuate a story questioning New York's COVID-19 death count. You're on the side of Russia Today, for God's sakes. Jensen's remarks can serve as kind of a kindling for disinformation. This is Clint Watts, the former FBI agent expert on Russian disinformation. Jensen's remarks can serve as a kind as the kindling for disinformation. He said Jensen's status as an elected official and doctor amplify the dynamic. He can elevate and amplify those narratives in a way that you and I cannot. Jensen has courted controversy in other matters of public health. Jensen stands by his concerns about the federal guidelines and questions raised about how death counts could affect federal funding, saying that to not acknowledge that is putting our heads in the sand. At the same time, Jensen pleaded for Minnesotans to take this full measure. I don't want my videos or comments weaponized. Too late, jackass! But I don't know in this day and age what you can do to stop that. I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't go out there and fuel conspiracy theories with your half-assed interview answers on far-right media. I don't know. Maybe you could stop that. Maybe, just maybe, you could do that. I have zero tolerance for Jensen because, you know, he tried to make it out last year as this, I was the guy who was fighting for the Alex Smith bill. But then he had a chance to basically do the right thing, side with the Democrats, bring the bill into the fray. He refused to do that to, you know, fist pumps and high fives from Republicans who basically did not want to give any kind of insulin aid to dying Minnesotans who can't afford insulin, not because they're not working, but because it's too damn expensive. And, you know, and then he does this crap. You know, no, I'm sorry. You know, you basically started this fire. You basically are the poster child for loon balls and nutbags, and that is on you. That's not me. That's you. If you want to solve this, start going on those same media outlets and say, you need to pull back everything I said because I was wrong. And not just me, but a lot of people, the state health commissioner, Fauci, Trump's guy, Clint Watts, everyone's coming after you and saying, you're an idiot, and including me. You're an idiot, Senator Jensen. You're an idiot. We'll take a break. When we come on back, more outrage and fighting. It is going to be Cliff Schechter joining us when we do return. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Paul Metzger, inviting you to listen to the Wall of Power Radio Hour every weekend on AM 950. We are on at 6 p.m. on Saturday, 4 p.m. on Sunday. We feature artists, musicians, raconteurs, private detectives, and more. 6 p.m. Saturday night on AM 950.
Live from St. Paul, it's the Virtual Art Crawl, featuring over 100 local artists with works for sale, artist interviews, demonstration, and studio tours, all from the safety of your sofa. That's right, we had to move the 2020 St. Paul Spring Art Crawl to an online format so that we could connect our fabulous artists with thousands of folks who traditionally attend the first big art event of the year. Help support the arts community by logging on April 24th through the 26th. You may ask yourself, how do I virtually art crawl? Follow the Facebook page at facebook.com/St. Paul Virtual Art Crawl. Watch live streams, support your favorite artists, listen to live streaming music, check out Lower Town restaurants, find a few new artists to follow, and maybe even buy some sweet local art. Again, the virtual St. Paul Spring Art Crawl is April 24th through the 26th. Streaming at facebook.com/St. Paul Virtual Art Crawl.
Four years ago today, I was tearing up, man, on that show, Loss of Prince. Oh, that was a tough day. That was a tough day indeed. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. By the way, really quick, with the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurants, the other ones that are got takeout options, Hazel Northeast, Brett mentioned there, but also Great Wall, Nightingale, also Park Tavern, and Cafe Latte all have a takeout option. The Victor's 1959 Cafe, they are not open for takeout, but they do want to encourage people to go buy gift cards. They will be opening again, And if you get the gift cards, we can use them later. But if you can, go over to Victor's and get the gift cards. Everywhere else that I just mentioned, they're open for takeout. Help out these restaurants as we try to get through the stay-at-home order together, all right? EatLocalMinnesota.com. That's EatLocalMinnesota.com. Cliff Schechter is our expert on national politics. Of course, Unprecedented is the podcast. You can hear that. It gets you through these lonely days. It does, and it's what the cool kids do. Cliff is kind enough to join us today. Hey, Cliff, man.
Hey, and big announcement, Ari, the podcast, if you don't mind my saying it.
By all means.
We have just joined the Sexy Liberal Network. We were invited to join and signed up with Stephanie Miller, who runs it, or was sort of the main honcho, but John Fugelsang is in it, and Bob Seska and Hal Sparks, and we're pretty excited. So there you go.
And of course,
we're networked.
We got Stephanie on here in the morning. So by all means, that's we know all about that. So you can find Unprecedented on the Sexy Liberal Network. I'll link to all that a little bit later on. Cliff, I think the entire time you and I are going to interview her, it's just going to be you and I just sighing because we don't have baseball.
I know. I'm sad about baseball. I'm sad. I heard part of what you were saying as I was coming on. 4 years since Prince. I was a big Prince fan, by the way.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not from Minneapolis. I even wrote a column here for the Cincinnati Inquirer based on the song Sign of the Times. And the thing about it was, at that time, is I thought that was representative of where some things were headed. Who knew the dark dystopian future that awaited us? So, yes, lots of reasons to be sighing today. And also crazy people out there who are astroturfed and being paid to go and try to literally convince people to let us die.
You know, you got these guys from Minnesota, this gun group that's really behind a lot of these organizing of this. But in every one of these locations, Republicans and prominent Republican talking heads are showing up and encouraging these crowds. And at one point you'd say to yourself, is really your strategy potentially to get the vast majority of your most ardent supporters sick and possibly dead, that this is your winning strategy to getting everyone back to work? Because I am flabbergasted these people are doing something so stupid.
You know, and there was an article about some Trump advisors concerned about it. You know, I mean, of course, they're only concerned in the context of winning because they're completely amoral things I can't say on the air with you. But I mean, like as a strategy, you know, there was a poll put out, I think National Journal had it today, that where has Trump cratered the most lately, very interestingly, among voters over the age of 65. He's now losing to Biden with them. And he beat Hillary by 9 points in that demographic, is now down something similar to that. And the reason why is because 6-1, they care about their safety over the economy, i.e. we shouldn't have to die because of your, you know, the Jesus supporters or those who claim they are actually worshiping the golden calf. I mean, some of the things these people are saying is incredible. Mm-hmm. They've claimed they're pro-life through all the, you know, it's kind of like how they claimed they were tough on defense and then they were cool with a guy, you know, extorting the Ukraine and making deals with Russia to get election help. I mean, apparently there's nothing they actually do truly believe in. Because when you've got the lieutenant governor of Texas out there encouraging them, saying, you know, oh, well, there's things more important than living. Okay, how about you first then? Yeah. You know, and I said that to all these Fox News hosts egging them on and all these other politicians. I mean, you've got people, you know, of various sort of positions, but they're not fringy outsiders anymore. I would argue they're fringy no matter what. But these are people at the heart of the Republican Party who are making an argument that we should be trading lives for the economy. It's incredible. I mean, I get it. People should need to eat. But, you know, in a country that's compassionate and actually gives a damn about their people, what you would do right away is start doing what numerous other industrial, post-industrial democracies are doing. And you'd actually start finding a way to send people larger checks than $1,200. You would make sure that Ruth's Chris isn't getting $20 million of bailout money. You'd make sure all the small businesses are getting it. You know, you do things that actually would say, we get it, there's economic hard times, so what we're going to do is we're going to replace that income for people that need it to eat, who need it to run their businesses, because that's what's important right now.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
these guys don't give a damn about any of that.
Well, and you look at what Kemp does in Georgia – I mean, and it goes even further because, as a lot of experts have said, I mean, there's opening some businesses, but he's talking about opening up, you know, gyms and spas and bowling alleys. He says these are where this is the disease can thrive in these environments. And you know, the idea that he's kind of pushing these, I mean, no one seems to know where he got that list from, but undeniably, he's looking to get as many Georgians killed as possible.
I think he pulled that list out of a place where the sun does not shine.
Yeah, indeed.
Because I don't – I mean, you're right. Like, when I think to myself, hey, you know, a good idea for not spreading a virus is you showing up, putting on rented shoes that like 8,000 other people have worn.
Yes.
Going and sitting next to people in a bowling alley and then sticking your fingers in a number of holes in a ball that other sweaty people that have been wiping their noses perhaps or their mouths or whatever are sticking their fingers in. I mean, that's just brilliant right there. Also, masseuses, because they don't get close to you, so we should have no problem there with disease. I mean, it's like the stupidest list I've ever seen. You'd think it's from The Onion, you know?
And, yeah.
And already, this is the guy – okay, I have a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old. My 10-year-old right now, and as of a couple weeks ago, because we talked to our children as they are intelligent people, knew that asymptomatic carriers could spread this disease. The governor of Georgia did not know that as of 2 weeks ago, or at least he publicly said he didn't know that. That's the guy who we're trusting to make these decisions or they have to trust in Georgia to reopen. I mean, it's going to be terrible what's going to happen, the people that are going to get this thing. I mean, you know, what he's going to do to his state, he's going to devastate it. Mm-hmm. And again, I hate to sort of just go to the pure cynical, but that's where these guys live and operate, so we might as well. If their people are dead, not only can they not vote for you, they can't buy stuff, which is what you theoretically want them to do if you care about the economy. Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Well, isn't it the Mayor Larry Vaughn. You remember him?
Yes.
From Jaws?
Yes.
It's the Mayor Larry Vaughning it. Because, I mean, let's face it, let's go to Florida. He reopened up the beaches, for God's sakes.
I know. I mean, and they're another one that did this late. We have no idea how many real cases there are there because they've done basically no testing.
Yes.
He also attacked transparency, didn't want nursing homes released, information on nursing homes and who had died there. Like he's pulling, you know, DeSantis and Kemp are really just two mini Trumps who are trying to get to the same place. They both want to be president. They don't care who they kill to get there, you know, who they allow to die of their citizens. And so, I mean, opening beaches again, you know, you see it where these people are lying inches from each other, are playing together, are doing something. I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, like there can be potentially, if you go through a list and you're careful, can some businesses perhaps be reopened that are ones where there are very few people involved and folks don't have to sort of, you know, be sitting right next to each other? Maybe. I haven't gone through a whole list of everything. Obviously, I want to do whatever is possible. We go and we grab takeout from a number of places here locally that we want to support. I mean, I get all of that, but again, they're even talking about opening restaurants. What does Kemp think's going to happen there?
Well, I mean, we all know what's coming. We can see the cab coming with the door wide open in 2 weeks. What is going to be the story they tell their supporters when their supporters all this and their parents start rushing these hospitals? What is the story? Are they going to try to say, well, it's the Democrats snuck in behind you and gave you COVID-19? I don't know what they're going to tell these people, but the reality is in 2 weeks, this is going to come crashing on down. We're going to realize the stay-at-home orders were there for a reason, and whether it's Minnesota or it's Ohio or wherever these rallies have happened, you're going to have these Republicans trying to explain why they encourage people to go on out when half the people at those rallies is now needing a ventilator.
Right. We see this happen in so many other places. I mean, especially when it's, you know, rallies are bad enough, you know, but when they're doing this, what Kemp's doing in closed air places, I think is he reopening movie theaters too? Is he insane?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally that was not Contagion, the earlier one. The movie, the one with Morgan Freeman and Dustin Hoffman about the contagion type thing. I can't remember.
Rene Russo.
Yeah, exactly. Like the scene where they show in the beginning where this thing spreads everywhere in this town is in a movie theater. And all these movies hired people as consultants who are epidemiologists and other top people. They'll just make this stuff up. I mean, it's so utterly crazy. We've seen in South Dakota where they refuse to close down. There's one, you know, meat plant where 1/3, 800 of the 2,400 workers have now tested positive. But Kristi Noem, their governor's walking around like, oh, yeah, we're doing okay.
Yeah.
All these other states that have refused to fully close down, rural ones. I mean, eventually it gets to rural areas. And this thing kills people who tend to have higher risk factors, diabetes and, you know, hypertension, and things that in poorer rural areas where folks don't have good health care, guess where these things are?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Arkansas, Oklahoma, like the numbers now, like in the last week or two, these numbers are going up 60%, 80%, you know, numbers like that of what they're seeing. And it's only going to get much worse. And, you know, it's even worse if you think about it in places like Florida and Georgia. You've got major metropolitan areas where people may use public transportation. There, you know, you've got if buildings reopen or if people in the elevators together, if they're in theaters, if they're in.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It is. You know, Cliff Schechter, by the way, joining us on Unprecedented is the podcast now with the Sexy Liberal Network. You can always tell, speaking of death, and you can always tell when Trump is desperately trying to get away from something because he all of a sudden stops talking about it. Hydroxychloroquine, the miracle drug, the malaria drug, which he himself was like, take it, try it. You'll like it, Mikey. Like it was life cereal, for God's sakes. You know, you have this drug, which most people are saying, this is a dangerous drug. You shouldn't do this. Now, I want to be fair. This report that's unpublished, it does sound like that there needs to be some peer review, and it does sound like that the way it was conducted doesn't give it definitives, but it does match a lot of other tests. Similar data out of Brazil, France, Sweden, where other studies on this has happened. It doesn't help at all. Let's talk a little bit about that. The fact that we had a president who, it seems like at least members of his inner circle had stock in the company.
Well, he owned like one of the makers, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? He was invested in it. I mean, you know, so he's as usual, right?
Yeah.
The first thing you think of is how is it either getting him reelected or making him money, because that's all that matters
yep.
in this world.
Yeah.
And you're right. This is unproven. We originally, when a few people saw him say this on TV, we heard right away there was a man in Arizona and his wife who got sick and he died, you know, when they went to the hospital. I mean, that was early on. They said this is we knew this, right? So, I mean, numerous medical professionals, hell, Dr. Fauci, who's standing right there next to him, said, no. You know, a number of times, like, no, there's no proven, you know, value to this. It can be dangerous, you know, and you're right. We have, I think more articles will come out about this. I saw something today, and maybe it's the thing you're referring to, about the number of veterans and other people who tried to take this and who had died from it. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, I don't know. I'm running out of sort of adjectives that are sufficient to describe these.
Well, and we just in Minnesota had a case where we had diabetics. We had a bill up there because, I mean, the cost of insulin is so expensive, especially some of this, you know, synthetic insulin that's needed by a lot of people who are diabetic. And it's so expensive. We were trying to put this bill out there. We had one of the Republicans and saying, well, you can just go get the regular Walmart insulin and use that. And you're like, no, you can't. That you don't understand the complexities. It amazes me how much we are watching a pandemic show us that the Republicans themselves still think that they can negotiate with reality and that
right.
they can change
with science.
Exactly.
Right?
It's bizarre.
Right. And again, we've seen it. It just hasn't been so obvious
yeah.
to kind of hit with this kind of, you know, the level at the same time, because we've seen it with the climate. We've seen it with guns. You know, we've seen it with vaccines. We've seen it with abortion rights. We've seen them just flat out lie about things, scientifically make things up, you know, do things that end up having terrible effects on constituents, hurting women, hurting minorities, but really hurting everybody, you know, leading to gun massacres, leading to all sorts of you know, weather-related issues we're now having related to climate change. Relating, you know, where I am, and I'm sure there's similar things as you're in a land, as they would say, of quite a few lakes, as I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Lake Erie, where we go up, you know, the last decade getting worse and worse. They have these longer red tides because of the crap they're dumping in there, where this algae that can cause liver failure. So the kids can't go in and swim. Like, this will eventually affect your life. You can pretend that science isn't a thing and statistics aren't a thing and reality isn't a thing. But eventually you have to live and it will get you. You know, it's just, I mean, it's incredible to me, but they seem to really, like, they're committed to this. They'll take this to the very end, I guess.
One last thing I wanted to touch on here is Trump's decision to shut down all immigration. It's, you know, once again, you can see the gears working in that dude's clock tower. It's broken clock tower, but you can see the fact that he's trying to basically, get to this point where the goal they had was to stop all non-white Europeans from immigrating. Now he's trying to use – it looks like he's going to try to use coronavirus to basically pull this stunt off, because you know as well as I do, how long is it before he said, well, we're going to let Europe come back in, but not anyone else. I mean, this is an end-around way to use coronavirus to basically write, racism into our immigration laws.
Yeah, and he's not a smart guy, but he has – he's in fact an incredibly stupid guy, but he has certain animal instincts. You know, imagine him like a sort of like – like a lion on a Serengeti, He has these sort of instincts, and one of those instincts is whenever he's in trouble to immediately go to racism. Because he, even if he doesn't get it on a conscious level, on a subconscious level, he gets that misdirects people, and that gets his base to like him again. We already have a number of these types of folks from earlier, rallies and things who are dying. We had a big one here in Ohio who was one of these sort of crazy gun rights, government can't tell me what to do. He's one of the early ones to say that DeWine, our Republican governor, by the way, who, was going way too far, and it was tyranny. He's dead now, this gentleman, because he got COVID-19 and died. I mean, I don't know if they think they're somehow immune to this, and but it will get them. Mm-hmm. Like these other things get them eventually. I don't know. I'm almost out of I don't know what to do to try to deal with these people anymore.
We already know it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, and we have to hunker down and hope that some point reality and sanity kind of kicks in.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And we need to. More people. I mean, I guess if I was going to leave with a bright side to this, is that there are the governor here and in Massachusetts, Maryland, there are at least some Republican governors who are breaking with him. Mm-hmm. And that's important because it ends up showing that the emperor has no clothes, that he can say this stuff. But hey, look, Republicans are disagreeing with you, too, because you're crazy.
I'm going to leave on something even more positive. You want a good dose of reality and sanity, Unprecedented is the podcast. Cliff Schechter is part of it. You can go and subscribe. It's a Sexy Liberal Network. Is it on their page now?
It should be up there, right? At this point, they were working on it. So I would say go check out the Sexy Liberal Network. Go check out patreon.com. You're Unprecedented, and you will find us.
I will link to everywhere I can find it.
You will, too, because you're so good at that stuff. You're awesome.
I will find it on some of those adult websites. It's on there, too. I'll put that up there. But you'll find Unprecedented podcast. Make sure you subscribe to it. It is very much worth it, and it's great. It is sanity and reality to get you through this trying time. Cliff Schechter, thanks, Cliff. I so appreciate it, my friend.
Oh, thanks for having me on, as always, man. Stay safe and stay healthy up there, all right?
My pleasure. Spotlight that one. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drinkin' the Style. Look, we're all working from home right now, and chances are you've become aware of the importance of a decent office chair. Well, I'd like to offer you a means of helping a local business while making working from home a lot more pleasant. How about considering the X Chair? We can ship the X Chair directly to your home. Now, I wish I could have you into Habitation to try it out, but that's not an option. So I'm encouraging you to visit xchair.com to have a look. But once you do, please give Habitation a call to place your order. Doing so ensures that you're supporting a local business at a time that we really need your help. And I'll tell you what, when you place your order by phone with Habitation, we'll discount the chairs an extra 10% off the lowest price on the X Chair website. So do your back, neck, and butt a favor and take a look at X Chair at xchair.com. Then call Habitation at 952-426-3548. That's 952-426-3548.
Are you scared to be in your home? Are you experiencing abuse in your relationship? There is help. Domestic and sexual violence programs remain open, and an advocate is standing by to support you and provide you with options. If you are experiencing abuse or violence, call Minnesota's statewide crisis hotline, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at 1-866-223-1111. 1-866-223-1111, or text 612-399-9995. Text 612-399-9995. Be safe.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week, we'll talk about the 50th anniversary of Earth Day and its architect, Dennis Hayes. The big interview is with Diane Muntean, an idealist from Steamboat Springs, Colorado, who I worked with last year. In the C block, I talk about my first Earth Day experience and how it shaped me as an idealist, something which continues to this day. Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Minnesota. Patrick, how about this little gem for you here before we end out here? Republican-led review backs the intelligent findings that Russia interfered in the election. You know how this is a Republican review. They basically have found that, yeah, that the Russians interfered in the 2016 election. Ta-da! Is this hard? I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Thanks to Cliff. Once again, Unprecedented is the podcast. If you get a chance, go listen to that. As always, we're leaving you with some dancing music here. This is Beach Bunny. We will be back tomorrow. Have a good night. Till tomorrow. See ya.
Sometimes I think I see a ghost in passing hallways and staircase in my apartment. Emotional impulse.